If you would please open your Bibles to the book of Hebrews. We are in chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, beginning at verse 14. This is God's word. Remember that this is in a chapter that deals with the necessity of endurance, even as we face God's discipline, which he gives us because he loves us. Hebrews chapter 12, beginning in verse 14. This is God's word. Pursue peace with everyone and holiness. Without it, no one will see the Lord. Make sure that no one falls short of the grace of God and that no root of bitterness springs up, causing trouble and defiling many. And make sure that there isn't any immoral or irreverent person like Esau, who sold his birthright in exchange for a single meal. For you know that later, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, even though he sought it with tears, because he didn't find any opportunity for repentance. For you have not come to what could be touched, to a blazing fire, to darkness, gloom, and storm, to the blast of a trumpet and the sound of words. Those who heard it begged that not another word be spoken to them. For they could not bear what was commanded. If even an animal touches the mountain, it must be stoned. The appearance was so terrifying that Moses said, "I am trembling with fear." Instead, you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to myriads of angels, a festive gathering, to the assembly of the firstborn whose names have been written in heaven, to a judge who is God of all, to the spirits of righteous people made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood which says better things than the blood of Abel. See to it that you do not reject the one who speaks. For if they did not escape when they rejected him who warned them on earth, even less will we if we turn away from him who warns us from heaven. His voice shook the earth at that time, but now he has promised, "Yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens." This expression, "yet once more," indicates the removal of what can be shaken, that is, created things, so that what is not shaken might remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful. By it, we may serve God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. God's people who received this letter were experiencing great suffering. They were going through persecution, and many were tempted to turn back to a religion of ritual, ceremony, rather than relationship with the living God. And God was warning them that they must endure. Endurance is one of the things that God works in those who are his. People who fall away, the Bible says, never were his. There are those who stray and are drawn back by the loving shepherd, but those who simply reject the Lord, who turn away, are warned repeatedly in this letter, don't think that just because you had an experience with God or made a profession of faith, if you do not continue, don't think that you are secure. We are not saved by an experience. We are saved by Jesus. He is the only one who saves, And when he saves, he saves to the uttermost. So, those who are in Christ Jesus are told how to live. Pursue peace with everyone. Now, that doesn't mean you say whatever you think people want to hear, do whatever you think other people would be pleased with. It means your goal is to be at peace. You're not a troublemaker. You're not looking to stir things up. You don't poke wherever you see a wound. But you will never pursue real peace apart from the will of God. If you think that sin is the path that's going to bring you peace, you're chasing the wrong thing. Jesus gives us a peace that's not the kind the world gives. His peace endures regardless of circumstances. And so if you want to pursue peace, know that He is our peace. And likewise, when it says, pursue peace with everyone and holiness, He is the one who makes us holy. He is our righteousness. You cannot come to God apart from the holiness that comes through Jesus Christ. Apart from it, without it, it says, no one will see the Lord. Jesus told a story about a man who gave a huge wedding banquet, and he invited all kinds of folks. But then when he was going into the banquet, he saw someone there who was not dressed in the wedding garments. It wasn't that this person was poor. It was that this person preferred their own stuff. They preferred to keep their own clothes on rather than wearing the wedding garments which were provided by the host. He had refused the gift in order to hold on to the familiar. And he was cast out. He'd been invited. Provision was offered. He had refused, and he was rejected. Anybody who's listening today knows that God offers salvation. Whosoever will may come. That is a genuine offer from God. But those who say, no, I don't want a new life. I like my life. I don't want to change. I want to stay in control. If you refuse the gift of God, how can you claim injustice? How can you say, well, God hasn't been fair to me? God has been merciful, allowing opportunity for people to come to repentance. But if you reject Him, you are not going to be in paradise with Him forever. You will find yourself cut off in utter torment and darkness forever. Those are the only two alternatives. If you think, well, I'm just not going to go either place, or I don't believe in that, it doesn't change reality. If you decide you don't believe in gravity, you don't immediately begin to float up to the ceiling. If you really sincerely don't believe in gravity, you will still hit the floor just as hard. The fact of the matter is, Jesus is the only way of salvation. And whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But if you reject Him, even if you've been in church, even if you've been in ministry, tragic stories in the news again about people who have been supposedly in ministry now losing their faith, no longer believing in God. Well, they never knew Him. If you don't believe in God, I could no more stop believing in my wife, then I don't know what. I mean, that's insanity. I know my wife. She's not someone who I believe exists. I know her. And if I started saying, well, I'm just not sure, I think maybe the whole thing was an illusion. I'm just not sure I really believe anymore that my wife exists. I'd be a lunatic. Totally insane. But you see, if I'd never met her, if I'd never really known her, if we hadn't been joined as husband and wife, if we hadn't spent years together, I'd only heard about her. Maybe seen pictures, but I start to wonder if maybe that was just Photoshop. I wonder if maybe that's not what I was told. I was told she was a wonderful person, but, you know, I never really met her, so I don't really know. People who walk away from the faith are going to hear Jesus' words one day saying, "Depart from me, I never knew you." That is a tragic thing. And we need to realize as we read this passage, these are real people in tough circumstances who are struggling to persevere. And they're being warned, do not reject him who warns from heaven. Make sure that no one falls short of the grace of God. That means we need to encourage each other to keep on going. And that no root of bitterness springs up, causing trouble and defiling many. I've seen it happen in people's lives. Something sets them off. It may be the death of a loved one. It may be a disappointment in romance. Whatever it is, and they just let that thing fester, because they're not getting what they wanted. Let me tell you something. God is God. He is sovereign. And there are many things about God's plan that I do not understand and that I would never choose. But I know that God knows best. And I know that I can trust him. And he has proved himself again and again and again. Make sure that there isn't any immoral or irreverent person like Esau. Now, how do you do that? Does that mean you go around and eliminate other people? No, it means don't you be like that. You make sure that in the midst of all this, none of you are like Esau, who sold his birthright in exchange for a single meal. In other words, he was the eldest. He automatically, by birth, was to inherit a double portion. And for the sake of a single meal, he gave that up. Again, I've seen over and over where people throw away the blessing of God for something so temporal, so passing. Everything on this planet, whatever it might be, Jesus put it this way. What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? Are you willing to sell out for some sexual relationship? For some financial profit? For some group that will let you in and be one of them if you just don't do this or you do that, regardless of what God says? Don't be like Esau, who sold his birthright in exchange for a single meal. For you know how later, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, see, later, the meal was gone, he's hungry again, and where does he go? He wanted to inherit the blessing. He wanted to have it both ways. But he was rejected, even though he sought it with tears. What did he seek with tears? The blessing that he had forfeited because he didn't find any opportunity for repentance. Folks, if you've sinned and you feel like you've blown it, repent. Repent. Come to Jesus. Cry out to him for mercy. But if you say, no, I don't have time for that right now. I've got other things I've got to do. you need to know. Judgment is coming, and Jesus is the only Savior. For you've not come to what could be touched, to a blazing fire, to darkness, gloom, and storm, to the blast of a trumpet and the sound of words. Those who heard it begged that not another word be spoken to them. What is this referencing? These were the Jewish people receiving this letter. They knew what he was talking about. They knew that when God came and appeared on the mountaintop and spoke from the mountaintop, it was so terrifying. Moses was terrified, and the people begged that God would stop speaking to them and just speak to Moses. Because we live in a culture, tragically even church culture, that is so flippant about the things of God. When people talk about the man upstairs, it's just nauseating. Our God is a consuming fire. And if you do not have an awe of God, something's badly wrong. You're worshiping an idol, not the living God. These people knew this reference. They knew this story. They could not bear what was commanded. If even an animal touches the mountain, it must be stoned. God was demonstrating for them in a very frightening way his holiness. And he was saying, even an animal that doesn't understand this, if it gets too close, you're to kill it. Because you need to know. You can't just waltz into the presence of God wearing your street clothes like the man at the wedding, holding on to what's familiar and comfortable and saying, I want it my way. God says, no. You're to have it my way. Jesus is the Lamb of God who was slain from the foundation of the world. He's the only way to the Father. If you think you're going to come some other way, you will spend eternity in hell. Only Jesus. Well, what about those who've never heard? Well, what about sincere practitioners of some other faith? Everybody on the planet deserves hell, including you and me. Nobody is going to go undeservedly into the lake of fire. Everybody, everywhere throughout history, with one exception named Jesus, everybody else has chosen to do wrong. We're not cast into hell because of something that was just totally beyond our control. I didn't have anything to do with it. All of us, even those who don't know the Ten Commandments, know some of what God says. Those who've never had a Bible, those who've never heard from a missionary, everybody everywhere has a conscience. And all of us violate our conscience. All of us have done things we know we shouldn't have done. And that's why nobody can stand before God and say, I don't need a Savior. I don't need to be forgiven. When a person says, I've never done anything that I felt I needed to be forgiven for, it's because that person has no awareness of God. And the reason they don't is not because they never did. It's because they have seared their conscience and they have rejected the truth and they are determined to put themselves on the throne. See to it that you do not reject the one who speaks. For if they did not escape when they rejected him who warned them on earth, even less will we if we turn away from him who warns us from heaven. But if we have not come to an earthly mountain where God's glory is manifested in a terrifying way, what have we come to? This is beautiful. Verse 22, Instead, you've come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. We're already entering into that in this life. Now, it's not as it will be, but we get to taste it now if we're walking with the Lord. Myriads of angels, a festive gathering to the assembly of the firstborn whose names have been written in heaven, to a judge who is God of all, to the spirits of righteous people made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood which says better things than the blood of Abel. He says, understand what you've got already. You're not standing there at that mountain terrified because of the fire atop the mountain, because Jesus made a way for you. He opened the curtain by tearing it in two. He brought us into the very presence of a holy God. And we can come to him with the spirit of adoption as joint heirs with Jesus Christ and call him Abba, Father. That, dear people, is a relationship that you will not come to doubt. You will not end up wondering, gee, I'm just not sure it's true anymore. If you know him, you know him. He will keep you. Does that mean doubts never come? Jesus was hit with doubts by the adversary. If you are the Son of God, do this. Because the Word of God says this. The Scriptures say this. And so if it's true, planting doubt, planting doubt, planting doubt, Jesus responded as we must with the Scriptures. That's why Satan works so hard, and he's doing it today in churches that call themselves evangelical, by pastors who are celebrity evangelicals, trying to get people to doubt the Scriptures, to say, well, you don't really have to believe that. Well, you don't really need to believe that. Well, it really doesn't matter if that's literally true or not. It really doesn't matter. That's the voice of the serpent. Understand that the reason the devil tries so hard to get you to doubt the Word of God is because when you doubt the Word of God, you doubt God. You will not know him as you should if you refuse to believe what he says. And so, his voice then shook the earth at that time. But now he has promised, yet once more I will shake not only the earth but also the heavens. This expression, yet once more, indicates the removal of what can be shaken, that is, created things, so that what is not shaken might remain. Read 2 Peter chapter 3. We don't have time to look at it in detail this morning, but read 2 Peter chapter 3. It describes what is coming, not what might happen, what is coming. God declares that when time's up, when he decides that's it, he is going to cause the elements to melt with intense heat. The sky is going to be rolled back like a scroll. We sing about that. But folks, that's not a mythological vision. It is a picture of what's going to happen. The creation as we know it is going to be destroyed with fire. Right now, in this country, there are hideously wicked anarchists at work in cities all over the land, setting fires, burning down businesses and police facilities and city halls and whatever they can get hold of and commit arson. That is not what we have to look forward to. Let me tell you, when this fire comes, 2 Peter chapter 3, when that fire comes, everything is going to burn, including the anarchists. Those who have set their wills against God because they are servants of the enemy, God promises that everything, church buildings, government buildings, mountains, rivers, lakes, animals, men, everything is going to be destroyed with fire. But not God's people. Why not God's people? Because God has promised a new heaven and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. God has something better than all of this that He is preparing for those who love Him. This expression, yet once more, indicates the removal of what can be shaken, that is, created things, so that what is not shaken might remain. What isn't created besides God Himself? The kingdom of God. Well, what do you mean the kingdom of God is not created? The kingdom of God is begotten. It is birthed by God. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful. God's kingdom is not a matter of geography. It is a matter of relationship. And let me tell you, nothing can separate us from the love of God that is ours in Christ Jesus. Let us be thankful. We are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Well, what if somebody does this? The kingdom that I'm a part of can't be shaken. Well, what if they come and they bulldoze the churches, as is happening right now in China? The government is tearing down not only the unauthorized churches, but even some of the churches that the government had previously sanctioned. Why are they doing that? Because the current government in China sees believers in Jesus as a threat. Because they're trying to put themselves in the place of God. But I'll tell you something. Our brothers and sisters in China, although suffering, are not being destroyed. They cannot be destroyed because they are a part of a kingdom that cannot be shaken. You and I need to know that God has caused us to receive a kingdom that cannot be shaken, and therefore let us be thankful. Let us be thankful. By it we may serve God acceptably with reverence and awe. Our service to God must be with reverence and awe, because our God is a consuming fire. Do you really think there's any force in the universe that can threaten God? What folly. What insanity. God is God. Are you yielded to Him, or are you still holding out? I pray that while you can, you will repent and trust in the Lord. Heavenly Father, You know all things. You know all hearts. Before You, all hearts are laid bare. I pray that in these moments, You would draw people to Yourself and cause us to recognize our complete need of You and cry out to You for mercy and for grace. Lord, we have no other hope, only Jesus. Thank You for sending Jesus to save all who believe. We pray in His precious name. Amen.